Spreading some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey, welcome back, y'all, to Life Unapologetic with Athena, where we live unapologetically unashamed. I'm super excited to be blessed to be back again with you all, bringing yet another episode. I'm excited to continue the conversation on books of destiny. We all have a book, and it is my prayer, my hope, my intent to communicate what God has been giving me to you about book of destiny, your book of destiny that will allow you to access and unlock opportunity to live in purpose, on purpose. So without further ado, I want us to go ahead and jump into Book of Destiny and Purpose.
What's up? What's up? I am back for part four of the Book of Destiny right there going across the screen of Purpose, Psalms 139 and 16. For those of you who have seen the other lives, and for those of you on my podcast who have heard the past three episodes of the Book of Destiny and Purpose, this is closing it out. Part four is the last and final piece. Originally, it was supposed to be three parts, and it ended up four parts. And I'm so excited to be closing it out, only because it was hard to be consistent, y'all, and do these live recordings while doing my podcast. See, it's easier to do your podcast because you can mess up, you can redo, you can rewind. But when you're live, you really have to be consistent. And I'm excited that Holy Spirit has challenged me to do this live. Now, this part four, I'm super stoked about. I'll bring up the photo. It's kind of what sparked this whole prophetic journey that I've been on. Just in transition in this season and seeking God on next steps for me in my life, seeking God on what he is looking for me, Athena, to do in so many different areas of my life. And so there is a lot that is going on in the background of my life to really get still, to really get quiet in God, to trust in God, and really hear clearly on next steps for me. And so we've been walking through this four-part series, or this journey of identifying our book of destiny in heaven. David spoke about it in Psalms 139. We looked at how our book of destiny really talks about our substance. A lot of us struggle with identity. Who are we? What's our purpose? Why are we here? A lot of us have been spoken into in wrong or false identity. Our perspectives and our outlook on ourselves are skewed. And so God wants to correct that, because I believe in our book of destiny, it really lays out who we are in God. And our book of destiny that has our purpose aligns with the word of God in its totality. There would never be anything in your book of destiny or anything prophetic that someone speaks to you that would not align with the word of God. And so knowing our book of destiny is really looking at the promises of God. It's looking at prophetic words that have been spoken over your life that align with the word of God for your life. And it aligns with what you feel has been impressed upon your heart from God. We looked at, so part one was substance. I believe part two, we looked at the timing of God, right? And the things that God is calling us to do within his timeline, within his time frame, which aligns with the seasons that we walk through. Kairos versus Chronos, you know, Chronos being more of natural time, hours, minutes, months, weeks, years. carols being divine times of God and things that God will bring to pass based on the timeline that is our purpose, that is within our book of destiny. Then we looked at judgment and how judgment plays a huge part in our book of destiny, in our purpose, how to judge properly, how to observe judgment, and how to allow our God, who is our Father, we have our Savior, and we have the Spirit of God, but God being a Father, but also being a just God, right? A judge. It speaks about how he sits on the throne. And we're going to look at that now in part four. We're going to look at the courts of heaven. This is a new spiritual, I call it a spiritual technology, spiritual strategy that I believe God is allowing me to study and to walk into. I'm actually bringing it to the Spiritual Growth Academy. We are going to be doing some live sessions where some of us in the academy are going to come together and walk this out and really explore it. It has definitely been exciting for me to learn about this technology and to apply it as I go into prayer, apply it to areas where I have felt stuck in my life, apply it to generational curses that I know plague my family because it's so evident, and apply it to my destiny and being able to walk forth in my destiny without hindrances of the enemy. So without further ado, let's jump in. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to learn even more about you, to learn even more about you and us, to learn even more about the deeper things of you, Father. You are so vast and you have so many layers, Father. And I ask that you would just bless our time. Holy Spirit, not my words or my ways, but your words and your ways, your thoughts, your mannerisms, your actions be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So part four, we're going to kick off looking at Daniel 7. Daniel 7 is kind of the prelude into what has really thrown me into this courts of heaven study. In Daniel 7 verse 10, it shows us the connection between our book of destiny and the courts of heaven and how these two kind of interrelate to one another and why really seeking God about this thing called a book of destiny or this thing called our purpose. What makes that real? Why does that line up with the things of God? I believe that God calls us to really seek him out more and more. I believe that there's so much to learn about God. I believe that there's so much to learn about heaven. I believe that there's so much to learn about the different realms and spheres that is God. And so I feel like in my walk, sometimes because of religion, I've gotten so closed into what I'm used to about God, what I'm used to doing when it comes to God or studying about God or studying my Bible, that it at one point cut me off from so much that is God. And so when God started to allow me to see different aspects of this courts of heaven, I began to say, well, you know, religion would say that ain't God, or religion would say it doesn't take all that. But what I know about God and my relationship is that God really calls me to search out deeper things of him. I'm always hungry to learn more, and I'm always trying the Spirit by the Spirit to see if it be of God. Anything that God brings to me, I take into prayer, and I really look for God to just lay it out to me, make it plain. And so the courts of heaven have really made sense to me, especially when I'm looking for purpose and I'm looking for destiny, especially when I'm really saying, God, you know, I've been bringing this and that to your feet and I haven't seen anything happen. I haven't really seen anything moved. And I know you hear me because your word says that you hear me. I know that you're with me because you said you would never leave me. So why aren't these things happening? Why aren't I progressing? Why do I continue to fall here? Or why do I continue to struggle there? And in some of those cries and pleas to God, and even in some of my entrepreneur things that I'm doing, products that I'm developing, I noticed that there were ingredients missing. And so when I began to learn about the courts of heaven, which I'm super excited just to touch on in this final series, it made a lot of sense as to some of the stagnant parts of my life. And so Daniel 7:10 kind of ushers us into all about the courts and how's that set up in the heavenly realm, in the third heaven. And so this for me is a new spiritual technology that I'm learning. It's a deep insight of strategy in addition to intercessory prayer. So what I learned about the courts of heaven is it doesn't eliminate prayer. Nothing can eliminate prayer. That's us talking with God. But I believe that God wants to give us strategy as it relates to interacting with him, as it relates to interceding for others, as it relates to cutting things off of our generational, right? We have what's called these generational curses that some people don't believe in, but I believe God. And I believe when I study the word that before me and before my father and before his father, that there were things that happened in our lineage that still affect us today. I know it to be a fact because it's all throughout my family. I can see a certain trait in me that's in my uncle, that's in my father, and so on and so forth, which allows me to know that that's not just coincidental. It's not just hereditary, right? Some of us want to believe in science more than we want to believe in God. So we say, oh, well, that's just hereditary. That's just how our family is. But could it be a problem? Could it be a little bit deeper than that? And if it is deeper than that, and if there is spiritual aspects of that, then how do we eliminate that so that we can be better? Now, we know that it's stopping us. We know that there are things that our fathers do, or our mothers do, or our grandparents do, and we no longer want to do it, or we don't want it to move on to our children. So how do we eliminate that? I believe through learning about the courts of heaven, in addition to our prayer, in addition to intercession, in addition to fasting, that this is another level of strategy to really break some stuff off, to really go hard for God, to really gain access to our purpose, to solidify our purpose, to protect our purpose from the enemy. And so in Daniel 7 verse 10, it says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him meaning God. 1,000 thousands ministered to God, to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the court was seated and the books were open. Now listen, now that I have been learning about the courts of heaven, I have been reading the word of God, and I'm seeing so much about the governmental setup of heaven that I totally missed, that I've read over and over before and never really understood that, God, there's more to you. There's more to your word. There's more to this scripture than it just saying that you're a just judge, or that you're a just God, or the accuser accuses the brethren. Like, I never put anything more than just words. I never thought that there was an actual court that we could present things to God to break things off of our life. I never thought and put two and two together that when the prophets prayed before God, that they prayed with a structure that set it up, that they took care of anything that would hinder what they were going before God with and then proceeding forward. I never thought that there was more strategy that could be given other than just us communing with God. I'm working on a product, y'all, and I'm so excited because God gave me this about 2 years ago, a strategic prayer journal, and God gave me strategy into setting up prayer. Listen, the disciples, one thing that interests the disciples about Jesus was prayer. It so much to the point that they asked Jesus to teach us how to pray, and God and Jesus broke down a prayer: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And so he walked them through the steps of prayer, the strategy of prayer, the way that we should approach God, right? And so God began to give me this strategy of how to pray, because there's so many babes in Christ, or there's so many new individuals, or there's even us who want a deeper level of strategy and prayer, and we don't know how. I'm excited about that, shameless plug, but that journal is now being actually created. I am so stoked. I'm working with Kiara Cornelius, her new company that she partners with Christian entrepreneurs to bring their products to to come forth. I said all that to say that there is something about strategy. There is something about seeking the deeper things of God. And as we continue in this recording and going through this final series, you guys, I'm going to break down why it's so important for us to understand that there is so much more about God than the surface stuff. There is so much more about God than our daily devotionals. There is so much more about God than us just carving out 30 minutes, an hour a day to go in prayer. There are ways that we can go before God, and there are realms that we can enter in spiritually and ways to access entering into those realms that I believe we need to be taught. I believe we need to seek out. Let me tell y'all something. The devil, his imps, the people who serve him in natural form, they spare no expense. And we're going to see that at finding out stuff about us, to hold us accountable, to accuse us, to hold us back from what God has for us. And God is loving. God is just. God is forgiving. But in God's just, he's given us choice. And because he's given us choice, there are things that we've done that we need to go back and clean up. We need to go back and dissect and go before God and strip the access that the enemy legally has on us to progress. Now, I'm moving ahead of myself, so let me go back. I want to go back and stay on track because I only got 30 minutes to do this and I'm out. So we see in heaven, we see this picture of heaven where we're before the throne of God, and there's this setup happening where there are a thousands ministering to God. Now, they're ministering to God. Ministering to God can happen in many different ways. But if you would walk with me in a court scenario, this is the counsel of God. How many of us know that God has a counsel, that he consults with others in heaven? Abraham was one that God consulted with on earth before he took action on Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's not too far-fetched that God consults. God also tells us, remind me, right? Bring me in remembrance and let us contend. Let us consult. Let us talk one to another together to break down accusations of the enemy against us. Listen, y'all, this technology, this new strategy, I'm so excited about. And so then it goes on to say 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now there's one that they're ministering to him, and there's another aspect of those standing before him. I believe those standing before him are you and I. When we learn to get in a strategic place in our time of prayer and in our time of intercession, that we begin to learn how to fight the enemy at his own game. We begin to learn how to eliminate these problematic issues that have manifested in our life, whether it be financial, whether it be health, whether it be our loved ones. God wants to give us strategy to know how to come before him like the enemy knows how to come before him, and to lay out a case and to eliminate the access of the enemy. It goes on to point out that the court was seated. Why does the Bible say the court was seated? Why does the Bible say that that presence or divine individuals in heaven were seated, bringing to order a scene, right? A visual for us to understand that the word says that we are seated in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. So if we're seated, then this must mean that we have access to these realms of heaven where we can actually get some stuff done. Walk with me, y'all. Walk with me. Those of y'all on my podcast, close your eyes and walk with me. It then says the books were open. Now, we've been talking about the book of destiny and how it relates to purpose, how it relates to walking in purpose on purpose. So the word of God is telling us that books are open in this courtroom scene where Father God, as the just judge, is seated, ready to go forth and make some decisions. Now, this is why I believe that our book of destiny is so important to how we operate practically day to day. I believe in the Spiritual Growth Academy that is something that God is doing through me as my personal purpose and vehicle in ministry to show individuals how to walk through the deeper things of God. I'm excited, y'all. I'm so hyped. I don't know what to do with myself, because the more that I'm studying and the more that I'm actually just diving into God, the more that I'm getting that is part of a bigger picture, and it's starting to come together, and it's so exciting. So now we see this courtroom setting. We see God seated on the throne. We see others ministering to him. We see 1,000 standing, 10 times 1,000 standing before him. The court is seated and the books are open. Now notice that the court was seated and the books were open. This is twofold. Let me break down the two parts to this. First, the cases that are going to be presented are going to come from the books. They're going to come from our book of destiny. They're also going to come from things that the enemy has on our families, on our lineage, on us, things we forgot about. That we did. Yeah, we are saved. We was dipped in the water. We came up fresh and clean spiritually, but there's still some things that we have to walk out. And I feel like it's such a misconception of the enemy to think that because we accepted Christ in our heart, we've had experiences with God, that everything is just falling off. I don't believe that to be true, because I know I still struggle with some stuff. And so my baptism didn't wash all that stuff away. It brought me new in Christ. I have a new lease on life. I have an opportunity to be everything that God has called me to do, but it's going to come with me seeking him. It's going to come with me searching out the things of him. It's going to come with me saying, God, there's got to be more to this. Show me how, show me what, show me where, show me when, and then me going after that thing. God says it is the responsibility. The word of God says a king must search out the things of God. We have a responsibility to search out the things of God for us to get to better, for us to get to wholeness, for us to get to true identity, for us to get to purpose. And I have to believe that this is all documented somewhere for me to gain access. I have to believe that when someone I know or someone that I can relate to spiritually gives a prophetic word, that they're pulling that on behalf of me from somewhere in heaven. Not from their mind, not from their thoughts, but the heart of God has my book, has my purpose, has my destiny. And David said it was all laid out before him. So if David's pages were all laid out before him, how much more mine? How much more yours? And wouldn't you want to know what those pages said? Wouldn't you want to know why it was important that God documents things? Heaven documents things regularly. Judgment is going to be about what was documented over the course of our journey here on earth, because it don't just stop here. So if things are documented, if the pages were laid out, how much more do you think the enemy lays out stuff? How much more do you think the enemy documents? Why? So that he can be before the courts to accuse us. The word of God said that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimonies, the words, the written words of our testimony. It goes on to say that the accuser who accuses the brethren day and night was cast down, was cast out. But before that transpires, there's a period I believe we're living in now where he accuses us day and night. Now, let me keep going, because I'm getting off, but I'm excited about this last little piece, because it's bringing so much relevance to my life right now, y'all. Listen, I'm in transition and I'm in a point now where I'm like, God, I don't want to do another thing. I don't want to make another step without knowing that it is 150% crystal clear that I'm on track with my purpose, that the thing I'm doing in my life to earn and provide for my household is in purpose and on purpose. I don't want to do anything else outside of my purpose, period. Show me how to do that. Show me how to walk in that. Show me spiritually, and then teach me how to make that practical so I can walk that thing out. That's what we're getting ready to do in the academy, y'all. But let me continue here. All right, so now we got the court scene. It's twofold. The cases that are being brought before the court, being presented to God as just judge, not as Abba Father, but as our just judge of the universe, because God judges. Yes, he does. He's going to go through the books, the things that are going to be presented to them, presented to him by whomever is presenting, whether it's us interceding on behalf of ourselves, family, or others, or a situation. It's in the books, and we're learning how to walk through this process of the legalities, the governmental aspects of heaven. Heaven has a government. There is a setup, y'all. There is a structure. There are many. Listen. No, I'm gonna stay track. I'm gonna stay on track because I'm excited. I wanted to go into a little bit more of the teaching, but I'm not gonna do that. So the first aspect that we see in this is that there are cases presented and the books are open. The second aspect of the scripture is it will take courtroom operations to get what is in the books released fully on earth. I believe that God wants us to begin to know how to seek out the spiritual things that have been locked in heaven, waiting for us to dig them out, the treasures, the jewels that are just waiting for us to go before God in this governmental setting and pulling down next steps for you and I. What is that ministry, y'all? What is that dream that you've been getting? What is that thing that's in your heart? What is that thing that you're passionate about? I believe that there's next steps in your book. Can we dig it out? Can we get access to it? And then let's walk it out. Let's walk it out one another together. Let's partner with one another. Let's pray with one another. Let's fast together to get the practical steps, the next steps to what we're supposed to be doing. I believe that a lot of us are doing things that ain't necessarily where we should be. Isn't necessarily giving us a sense of accomplishment, giving us a sense of fulfillment. Let me just speak for me. There's holes, there's gaps. When I'm doing this that I'm doing right now, sharing the deeper things of God that he's been giving me in my quiet time, in my sacrificing, in my fasting, I'm lit. I'm on fire. I'm excited. I'm being fed myself. But when I walk out my door to go hustle for that dollar to pay the bill, while I have a skill set, there's no passion like it is here. So God, what am I supposed to be doing? This is my question, y'all. And how does the courts of heaven relate to it? How does my book of destiny relate to my purpose? So that I can continue to feel this that I'm feeling right now, feeding your people, and yet still be responsible in the natural. It's coming, y'all. What I'm excited about is this is the question that I posed to God. And I'm excited to walk this thing out as difficult as it is right now for me. To be still and not fully know the next step or the answer is hard for me because I'm go, go, go. To not have the whole picture and know each step is hard for me because I'm an A personality. I need to know it all. But what I'm learning now, walking through this new strategy and prayer and seeking God to get the crystal clear answers and then transform those into the natural or manifest those into the natural to practically walk it out is where I'm at right now. And I'm so excited, even though I'm scared, even though sometimes I'm frustrated because it's not all my timing. It's on his timing. And so putting all of these pieces, these breadcrumbs together that he's been giving me, even to give this message, is exciting because I want to see where it goes. And then when I know that it's going to be prosperous because God says so, God said in Psalms 1, if I meditate day and night on his word, if I'm in constant communication with him, if I'm making time for him to see what my next steps are, that I'm going to become planted, I'm being rooted in the spirit. I'm being rooted in the spirit by being consistent and seeking out these next steps in God because enough is enough. I want to know how to break the curse off my life. Enough is enough. I want to know how to come out of debt. Enough is enough. I want to know how to be a better person all the time, every day, day in, day out. Where are these curses? Where are these strongholds at? And how do I break them off so I can truly walk in purpose? When I get to a point that I've gotten the answer from God, like I feel I'm getting, and like I'm sharing with you through these new perspectives and realms and abilities that we have to go in the Father, and those things manifest in the earth, I'm going to then be able to walk others through it. That's what excites me. That's what excites me about the Spiritual Growth Academy. That's what excites me about spiritually coaching others, is that you do the work. You walk it out. Sometimes like this in front of everybody, vulnerable, and sometimes behind closed doors in obscurity. You walk it out, and then you're able to see how you did it, leaning and trusting and relying on God to go back and bring the next one through, and the next one through, and the next one through. That's what I'm excited about. Let me keep going, because I'm getting excited, but I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And so we see that the two parts of this scripture is that what we present comes from the books in heaven. And second to that it's a courtroom operation, that there is a structure, there is a strategy that is needed to release what is in our book in heaven so that it can manifest in the earth through purpose. Now, why is this? I believe, as I've been studying and as I've been seeking God and as I've been praying and really just being still, that this is because Satan uses legalities to stop us from getting all that is meant for us. He seeks out technicalities to hinder our destinies. And we see this in Psalm 64:6. Now, listen, y'all, I went back to Psalm 64:6 yesterday. I bust out all my books. I bust out every commentary I had. I busted out every book that I had that would break down that scripture, because I was like, there's something deep in this Psalm 64:6. Now, let me show you what I got. Let me show you. Okay. Psalm 64:6 says this. This is the enemy now. This is the enemy's camp. Now, God always, what God does in the spirit, in the heavenly realm, you better believe your bottom dollar that the enemy is setting up his own government, is setting up his own strategy, is setting up his own situation, his own system. He's been doing it since time began, and he continues. So let me show you a little bit about the enemy's setup and how they do what they do. This is important. Why is this important? Listen, I am not a sports fan, but what I do know about teams is that they study their opponents. They watch back footage. They go all the way back to past games, generational stuff. Listen here. And they study it so that they can be effective on what they know is coming up. Watch this. Let me show you. Psalm 64:6. They search out iniquities. I looked up the word iniquity, y'all. Iniquity means violations or crimes. It can also be said as twisted behavior. See, we get so lost in the words iniquity and sin. And because I'm going to say it to the mic. Now I got this microphone because it's my podcast, y'all. I'm over time. It's already 30 minutes, but I'm just going to do this. Rock with me. Whoever listens, whoever watches. We get so lazy that we don't search out the word so that we have a better understanding practically. The only way we're going to begin to walk out our purpose and the word of God is to break it down so it makes sense practically and then apply it. So now that I know that the enemy's camp searches out things in my past, things in my father's past, things in my mother's past that I am linked to because of my DNA, that they look for crimes and violations that even I forgot that I did, or I don't even notice that I'm doing, because I'm not still enough, because I'm too busy in the rat race of life that I don't realize my attitude is bad. I don't realize I slip and cuss. I don't realize that I do this or that is offensive to another brother or sister or even a person that deforms or that misconstrues how people see the Christ in me. But I'm saying I'm a Christian. I don't realize that the enemy is looking and seeking and searching out those things that I've become so desensitized to because of religion, because of pattern. Let me keep going. It says they search out iniquities, violations, or crimes. They accomplish a diligent search. Diligent. That means they take their time. both the inward thought, their inward thoughts, and every one of them, and the heart is deep. Now listen, I went to my commentaries and I got this. They take a great deal of pains to find out some crimes and violations or other charges to accuse the righteous of. The word of God says that the accuser accuses the brethren day and night. This is how his team is searching out the things that they need to search out because they take the time to do this. Do we take the time to go before God? Do we take the time to sit before God? Do we take the time to learn to truly hear from God? Do we take the time to be diligent in our search as they're diligent in theirs? It says that they dig deep and look far back. Now, when they said far back, I felt the Holy Spirit say generational. They go back generations in their diligent search. My God, listen, when there's a court case and someone's on trial, these attorneys go back through everything. We need to look all the way back. For defense, we need to see what we can find on this person. We need to see what we can dig up that they even forgot about. And we need to see how that will benefit our case against this person. Because this person is trying to get something, i.e. us purpose, i.e. us destiny. And so in order to prevent them from getting this something, we need to find out what can sway the court to not release that thing onto them. What can hold up that thing? You know, you watch these movies where these companies have all this money and they're like, listen, if anything, we'll just hold it up in court. You'll never get it because you'll run out of XYZ before you can even get that thing that you're trying to come after us. That's what the enemy does with our purpose. That's what the enemy does with our families. That's what the enemy does with our finances. He ties it up in all of these legalities that we don't even have knowledge of because these deeper things we haven't searched out. These deeper mysteries of God and these different ways of operating in the Spirit of God could release so much that we've been waiting for years. My God, let me keep going. Whew. They dig deep and look far back and putting things at the utmost stretch. And I looked that up, utmost stretch, situated at the most distant or furthest point, meaning they go all the way back through our bloodline, that they may have something to accuse us of, or that are industrious. I looked up the word industrious, that it's diligent and hard work. They are diligent and work hard to find these accusations. It said that they are industrious to find out new arts of doing mischief to us. That right there hit me, y'all. You mean to tell me that they find new strategy to hold up the destiny of the people of God? To divert God's plan in the earth through you and I? Wait a minute. Hold up. If the enemy and his camp find new ways to hold me back, how much more does God have in strategy to set me free? Courts of heaven, what's that? That's not God. That ain't biblical. It don't take all that. I got what I need at the cross. Okay. And yeah, maybe in some respects, but can we look at our life and say, God, some stuff just ain't moving. God, what I've been doing, it got me to a certain point, but I'm ready to go further. And God, whatever it takes, even if it is all that, show me, let me try it for myself with my relationship with you and let it play itself out. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. God, because you've given strategy to others, you've given revelation to others, you've given clarity to others, and they are now walking that thing out. I believe that a lot of the strategy, even that I'm talking about, has been around for years and years and years. But I believe that because it takes our seasons to walk us through a process before we can even comprehend, understand, and respect and appreciate some of the strategy that God wants to give us. I believe that if God would have gave me this 5 years ago, it wouldn't have mattered. 6 years ago, it wouldn't have mattered. In 2018, when I was barely learning about Holy Spirit and spiritual things and spiritual gifts and the prophetic, none of that would have mattered because I wasn't even at a point where I could entertain going into a whole nother realm in heaven because I got problems with my imagination. Because as a child, I was molested and I was abused to the point where I don't imagine like everybody else. It's difficult for me because unbeknownst to some people, your brain protects you by shutting things down. I didn't have a childhood as a child because of the struggle. So I didn't have time to explore. Door explorer. I was never that. So in 2018, when I was seeking God for myself and asking why things weren't happening the way I saw it happening for other people, I had to go through a journey and a process that continues today to be able to still learn the deeper depths and the higher heights in God. Listen, the word of God says we go from glory to glory, and people be in church about, yeah, we go from glory to glory in Christ Jesus. But are we really going from glory to glory? Are we really growing? Are we really moving from level to level in God? And I'm not saying this in a beatdown. I'm not saying this in a condemning way. I'm saying that I am tired of being stuck. Listen, the season I'm in, I've been in before. And I'm finally saying, you know what, God? I'm not missing it this time. Nope. I don't care if I got to deliver a burger. I don't care what it look like. I'm going to sit still and not move in what I know to do unless you tell me to do that. So I'm in a new strange place. I don't know what to do. I'm in a new strange place. I don't know which direction to go. I know, God, you've given me this vision for this academy. You've given me this vision to coach others. I can go in my war room, God, and you download and I can open the word and it jumps out. So I know you've given me a palette. You've given me a skill set that aligns with this destiny, and I need to dust it off. I need to gain further and more clarity so that I can understand what the product will look like or what the business will look like. I need to really figure this out, God, because, you know, we could say it's ministry, but I need to know the practical components to this thing called ministry. And I can't be so concerned about provision. This is why you said, would I not feed the birds in the air? What if I feed them and I take care of every lily in the valley, would I not take care of you? So stop going after what the world does, what the world put trust in, which is blocking you from really hearing me on what I've been saying. Athena, this is what you're supposed to be doing. But you've been so busy chasing the bag that you continue to miss purpose. Let me finish this out. They're diligent in their search and their hard work to find out new ways, new strategies against us. In this, they accomplish diligent searches that go through with it a spare. They go with it sparing no cost and no labor. Okay. So if the enemy is diligently searching out things to hold us back, we need to be diligent searching out the things of God to counteract that. Because the devil will never have something that God doesn't have a counteraction to in his word. There is a direction and a promise for every accusation of the enemy, but we got to walk it out. We got to search it out in the spirit. We have to become so in tune with the spirit of God that as the enemy gives an accusation or something is holding us back, that God is releasing to us how to get free of that thing. Yep, you're right. You're right, enemy. I agree. I agree with that accusation. My family has homosexuality in it. I agree with that accusation that my family indulge in pornography. I agree with the accusation that my family goes after the spirit of mammon. It's all about money. It's all about not being poor. It's all about how I can get by. I agree with you. Absolutely. Now, Father, because I live in a dispensation of grace and mercy, and because Jesus stands on the right side, sits at the right side of you, interceding, testifying, speaking life into me, that his blood speaks out for me, that this now has to be diminished, abolished, and broken. The access that the enemy has had through these accusations are now null and void. He no longer can get to me through these accusations. This is the work that I've been doing, y'all. Searching it out. God, what is it? What has he got on me? What's holding me back? Why am I stagnant? God, what is it? Show me, teach me. I'm here. I'm listening. I'm hungry. I'm determined. The same tenacity I put in those employers, I'm putting in my purpose. The drive, the hustle that I have in the world, God, I'm about to hustle hard for my purpose, because it's bigger than all of that. It's bigger than me. This is about serving others. So show me how to serve and serve others well. What I know to be true in my serving others is that people need answers. They need practical steps to better. They don't need a coloring book. They don't need another prophetic word, you know, drive-by that we do, giving out prophetic words without knowing how to walk that thing out. I love prophetic words, and I love so many of the ministries that get access and they pull things down from heaven. But if you would just listen with me, I've written down prophetic words. And that's just it. I've written it down. I didn't walk it out, because even though I wrote it down, nobody has been teaching me how to walk that prophetic thing out practically. I didn't know that I should speak those prophetic words back to God and say, God, this is out of my book of destiny. This prophetic word says that my feet have been showed with peace, to bring peace, to teach others your word. Wait a minute, that aligns with the Spiritual Growth Academy. Wait a minute, that aligns with the courses that I create in the academy for others to learn. All of the lectures that I do, that you empower me and give me the wisdom and the spiritual knowledge to know how to make it practical and make sense. That's what that prophetic word meant. So let me speak that back to you so that it can continue to manifest itself into curricula and materials and products that are going to help others walk this thing out practically. I hope I'm making sense, y'all. I hope I'm making sense to you. My God. So we see the devil and his imps and his people bringing these accusations before this sphere in heaven, this place in heaven called a court. My God. So if they have strategy, we too must learn how to fight and come before this court. So we see in the Word of God where Jesus had operated in a form of courts of heaven technology. Let me read it. Let me break it down. This occurred in Luke 22, verse 31 through 32. We see the devil's strategy to stop Peter's influence on his sphere of influence. See, Peter had a destiny. He had a purpose, and he had to walk that thing out. But before he even could get close to even trying to walk out his purpose, the devil was already up trying to stop it. The word says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, that he may cut you down. But I've prayed for you. I've interceded. I've testified prophetically. God said, I prayed for Peter. Now, Jesus said, I prayed for Peter. Now, this wasn't Jesus saying, Lord, stop the devil. No, this was Jesus knowing this strategy and knowing how to stop the accusation of the enemy that he was trying to bring against Peter. He could have said, you know, Jesus, Peter cussed. He cut off that ear and never repented for it. Yeah, you healed the man's ear, but Peter never repented for cutting off that ear. Listen, Peter cussed out people because, you know, they was trying to match him with you. All of these accusations that we don't know that Peter walked out, that he got it right, that he cleared the air. Why do you think the Word of God says go back and make peace with our enemies? Why is it saying don't go down on your anger? Don't go to bed on your anger. Because we have to work this thing out. We have to make these things right. We have to have a heart posture of repentance in everything possible that can prevent us from being close to God, that can disconnect us in the natural and in the spirit from God. Let me stay on track. God, Jesus said, but I've prayed, I've interceded, I've testified on your behalf that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. That when you have returned to me, so Peter, you're going to deny me three times before you hear the rooster. But when you come back to me, I'm prophetically speaking about your destiny, your purpose. I'm releasing a prophetic word that is yet to come for you to walk out. But I want you to know that even though you don't understand it now, revelation and clarity will come and you will look back and see that I prophetically interceded and prayed for you in the courts of heaven to stop the accusation of the enemy from you walking this thing out. So when you get to this point of that prophecy, come back now and strengthen your brothers. When you return to me, when you repent, when you accept your purpose and your destiny, strengthen your brother. Strength. This is why I say I'm here to serve. God, what does that look like? God, what is the product? What is the business? We're here to serve. Is what we do every day serving someone? Is what we do every day building the kingdom of God? If it's not, I believe that God wants us to really get in a space where the service is building the kingdom of God. Now our jobs, we are to do them as unto the Lord. I believe that to be true as well, but I believe that there's more for us, y'all. I believe that there's more. I'm speaking about Athena Corday Stewart, okay? I believe that there's more. And so what we see here is oftentimes we think that faith, when I was looking at this and I was looking that Jesus had prayed for Peter's faith not to fail, God began to teach me about how I looked at faith. You know, for the life of me, y'all, I'm going to be honest. That scripture, if the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you ask this mountain and it would be moved. I was like, but you mean to tell me that whole mountain in the ground over there is going to move? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, my perspective was so small from not really seeking God out that I didn't fully understand faith. And if I didn't fully understand faith, how is it that I could even think about searching the deeper things of God out? Because everything about the kingdom of heaven is faith-based. Faith unlocks everything. I have to believe that he is and that he was and that he is to come. I have to believe that there is a governmental structure in heaven. I have to believe that he goes away to prepare a place, mansion. Taught me something about the mansions too, y'all. They're not really mansions. They're just there's many places in heaven that he's preparing for us that we have access to even now. But it's a perspective, it's a revelation, it's a clarity that has to be released as we dig deeper. So this is what he told me. He said, your Western way, your analytical way, your analytical perspective is opposed to a linear, a progressive or enduring way of thinking. Athena, I'm trying to get you out of this Western mentality that there is a beginning and an end. And I'm trying to get you to see that this is an everlasting journey. And if I can get you to the point of an everlasting journey, then what you think is holding you down to get you to the next level in your life is not really the key. The false hopes in your 401k is not really the key. Getting this job in this corporate America is not really the key. If I could bring you into a deeper way of walking this thing out, the practicality that you're looking, the servitude, the purpose that is fulfilling every day of your life, if I could just get your Western mentality to change to linear. He said, if I could get you to think linear, progressive, and enduring, then your perspective on faith would change. He said, faith isn't based on how much you believe more than it is on how long it can last or endure as you walk through the seasons that I bring you through. What? So great faith really is about walking this thing out and believing and trusting you all the way through, not stopping, not getting sidetracked, not thinking that, oh, this thing came, so that's the answer, so I'm good. Because that's my testimony, y'all. These good opportunities have come, and it stopped me from walking the thing out. I'm being real with y'all. So he reminded me of Peter, and when he came walking on the water, this is perspective that he's just been giving me, y'all. And when Peter got out of the water, out of the boat onto the water, that he began to walk. He believed. God said, come. So he got out the boat in faith, and he believed that he could do what Jesus was doing. But then we are taught that the storm was raging, and he got sidetracked. God said it wasn't that he got sidetracked, because the storm never stopped when he saw me walking on the water. The storm never stopped when he got out the boat. So it wasn't the fact that the storm was so captivating that he took his eyes. It was that his faith began to fail. What? His faith didn't endure to stay the course. This is why God has taught me that, Athena, when you read the word, look for the direction that I'm giving you, and right next to that scripture, direction. And then as you continue to read, look for the promise, because the promise is going to keep your faith and allow your faith to endure the direction that it's going to take for you to get where I'm telling you to go. My God, I don't know why I'm going in this direction, but I'm going with it. And I'm trying to finish because I'm only supposed to be 30 minutes, but I'm messing it up because I'm excited. So I began to break down this faith thing. And so the word as in the Greek is spelled E-X-A-I-T-E-O-M-I-A. Extemia, I don't know. I messed these words up, y'all. It means to demand for trial. So we see Satan demanding Peter for trial, wanting to accuse Peter before Peter even got to his purpose. Satan had an understanding of the purpose of God written in Peter's book. So he knew if he were to disrupt Peter's destiny and purpose, Peter wouldn't be able to impact the world with the powers of the kingdom of God like he did. And this is why Jesus interceded and testified on behalf of Peter, because the enemy got whiff of what Peter's purpose was and was like, I want to accuse him of some stuff, because listen, he can't get to where he's trying to go. That's so beautiful to me that because we don't know these deeper strategies, that Jesus is testifying, that he is interceding on our behalf, y'all. And that's the grace of God. That's the beauty of the mercy of God, that when the word says that his grace and his mercy is sufficient and his power is made strong in our weaknesses, it's those times where we just don't know what we don't know. But there is going to come a season where you're going to have to not always not know. Where you're going to have to be plugged into the source, because we are meant to know. It's our job. It's our purpose. It's our destiny to know for the next person. We are to bring back dominion from the enemy over to the kingdom of God. We are to build out the kingdom of God as we walk here on earth. If we're not doing that every day, then we need to go back to basics and say, God, teach me how to dig it. Teach me how to dig. I'm sorry, it just popped in my head. Y'all know I'm a comedian. I have to make stuff light because, you know, I'm always deep. So teach me, God. So we see the enemy's strategy was to accuse Peter before Peter even started walking it out. All right. So he was seeking a legal right to devour Peter and what was written in Peter's book. We know that Jesus stood on behalf of Peter and secured the destiny of heaven prescribed for Peter. And so we know that Jesus did not walk out his walk on earth as God. We know that Jesus put his divinity down and he walked this thing out like you and I, trusting on the Spirit of God. Let me show you. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 tells us Jesus did not touch his divine abilities while living on the earth. Even though he was God, he lived totally as man. And Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was past tense, but also relevant today, was also in Christ Jesus. You mean to tell me the perspective and the mindset that Jesus had when he walked through his season and his purpose here on earth, that I am to let that mind willingly ask to receive that mindset, that perspective, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might and fear of the Lord, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. This is identity. Jesus didn't feel bad about knowing his identity in God. He didn't feel bad by knowing that he was a child of the Most High. He didn't feel bad by knowing that he held the power given to him from God to do the things that he was called out to do. So we need to understand our identity like Jesus understood his identity. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. No pride, no ego, wasn't about that. Taking the form of a bond servant, humble, to serve, servant, bringing others together, and coming in the likeness of men, you and I, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus had lived fully as you and I to redeem us. A man, as a man, Adam lost the deed, the title to earth. He lost it. But Jesus, as a man, came back to win that back for you and I. So if Jesus would have ever touched his Godhead during his time and his purpose here on earth, he would have forfeited the right to be our Savior. See, he knew his destiny and his purpose well enough to practically walk it out. Now, if Jesus didn't know his purpose or his destiny that was written in the book, come on, y'all, because if we look back in the First Testament, I hate calling the Old Testament now because it's so full of so much good stuff. We see his destiny written out in the book. My God. So if Jesus' destiny was written out and spoken about in the book until it manifested and he walked it out, how much more us? How much more you and I? So again, Jesus never touched that divinity of himself. He walked it out through the Spirit of God. He regulated himself to function as you and I. He lived totally as a man filled with God through the Holy Spirit. So when he prayed for Peter in the courts of heaven, he did it as a man, showing that you and I have the access, the opportunity, and the strategy that he will release to us in our time, in our due season, to stand before the courts of heaven, to go boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly, knowing who we are. This means we too as human beings have access to the court to perceive what is in our book of destiny and to secure that destiny as well, y'all. That's all I got. I'm about to pray this out. I pray that this blesses somebody. Hour long, Lord, help me. Help me. I finished it. Jesus said, do this 4-part series and be done. I finished it. I'm so grateful to God that he gave me this piece. I'm about to make it into a course for the Spiritual Growth Academy. So let me pray this prayer over you that are listening to this, that may watch the replay. A prayer so we can all access. So Lord, we come and we stand before your courts. My God. My God, we thank you that you have a book in heaven. We thank you that we all have a book of destiny. My God, thank you so much, Father. We just thank you with a tremendous amount of thank you that you thought of us before time began and wrote our destiny and purpose in a book in heaven because we were predestined for purpose. So, Father, as we stand before you, even now during this live, even now during this podcast, as we stand before you, we declare in your courts, We want all that is in our books. My God, we want all that is in our books. We want to fulfill our destiny that is connected to your purpose in the earth. We want to walk this thing out, God. Lord, that which you saw concerning us before time began, we ask that this might be our life. Please align our life. We choose, Father, we're choosing now that which you have chosen for us. Because you've given us choice, God, we're rendering that choice back onto you and choosing your will, not our will be done. Father, as we stand before your courts this evening, Lord, we lay down our lives as best as we know how. My God, the selfish parts of us, the prideful parts of us, the egotistical parts of us, we lay this down the best we know how. Through the power of your spirit, according to Romans 12:1, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, God, my God. We also ask, God, according to Ephesians 4:1, that we might have a walk worthy of the calling that was determined for us, written in our books in heaven. Jesus, Jesus. We also ask, Lord, that any case, any accusation, any generational curse, Father, that the devil would have against us before the courts, that he and it would be silenced by the blood of Jesus, not by our good works, not by our tithing and offering only, God, but by the blood of Jesus, the blood that speaks out for you and I, the blood that covers us all. Lord, and we thank you that your blood speaks for us, my God. Father, we thank you that your blood speaks for us, even where we don't know to speak for ourselves. And we agree with your blood's testimony, according to Hebrews 12 and 24. My God, we agree with your word. We align with your word now, God. We thank you that your blood grants God the legal right to forgive us, to remember us, and to redeem us to the purpose that is in our book. Father, just as Peter's destiny and purpose was secured from the courts of heaven by Jesus as our Lord, we thank you that our destiny even now is secured. Lord, we declare before the courts of heaven that we are your servants. So please use us. Use us, God. We want to be used. We want to live in purpose on purpose every day, God. We ask that our lives might count for the kingdom of God as it is recorded in the books of destiny in heaven. Lord, we know that we will stand before a white throne judgment, and we know that the books will be open, Father, and we want our legacy. We want our pages to speak of the alignment that we did with your will for our lives, that we walked out the purpose as we pull down the pages from heaven. My God, I feel your spirit. We ask that our lives might count for your kingdom. Father, according to Ephesians 2:10, that we might walk this out as your workmanship, not ours, your workmanship, Father. We realize, Lord, that your grace makes us your work of art on display. Father, we ask that you would take us out of this grind of life. My God. Father, if there's some like me who got lost in the grind of life, Father, that we got too busy for you, Father, that we got too busy for purpose, Father, that we got too busy for ministry, Father, that we got too busy to just be still in your presence. God, we ask that you take us out of the grind of life so we can hear. Father, and we ask that as you take us out of that grind of life, that you put us in your stride of grace. Lord, would you now bring about our empowerment? Would you now bring about our empowerment through your spirit? That from your strength, not ours, but your strength, this is why Jesus said, not my will, but your will, that your strength would be fulfilled, that all that is written in our book of destiny would be fulfilled in us, for us to live in purpose on purpose. Jesus, Lord, we desire that great passion to fulfill your will. Release great passion to fulfill your will, not our will, but your will. Give us the passion. If our flames have diminished or dim, God, help us to fan the flame on those gifts, on those talents, on those dreams, on those visions, on those prophetic words to walk them out. Father, please accept our request before you today. Let all that would resist our petition today be revoked in the name of Jesus. Let all accusation that would resist our purpose in the earth today be revoked in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for that we look forward with expectation and intentionality, that we will fulfill our destiny in purpose, on purpose, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I love y'all. That's all I got. Woo! I'm sweating out this shirt, y'all. Listen. We are getting ready to do a study in the Spiritual Growth Academy on the Courts of Heaven. I plan on putting the link in the Facebook group, the Spiritual Growth Academy private group, so that others can join in. I want to continue to seek out this new strategy along with prayer with others, because it's not just about one person knowing how to do something and not the other. And this is free, y'all. This is totally free, okay? Because God said that my number is 5, which is grace. And so I want to help others walk out how I'm walking out, because I know that it's fruitful. I know that Psalms 1 ended in saying that whatever we put our hands to do will prosper, but only after we set aside time to go after the deeper things of God, only after we meditate and be still, so that we can walk truly in purpose. Not misconception of purpose, not manipulated purpose, not disguised purpose, but real true purpose, not denying the power of God, right? We want to be filled with the power of God and walk this thing out. And so we're going to be starting a study. And this study really is incorporating both the Courts of Heaven, but we're also looking at prayer. We're also really breaking apart prayer and what is prayer, how to pray. Teach me how to do it right, God. Give me new strategy, God. Relight my fire for prayer, God. How do I do this thing? And then how do I go before your courts for some of those things, Father, that I need to fight a little bit higher on? See, this is about God teaching us the different realms that we have access to fight in. Not all the realms we have access, but there are realms that we have access to go after these bigger challenges of our lives. These bigger misconceptions. We have the right and we have the power and we have the access, but we need to be taught how to do it. We're going to walk that out. I love you all. I pray that this has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. Listen, it has blessed me today. I'm excited that I'm done, y'all, with this series, because the consistency was hard for me, but I pray that this has blessed you. I pray that I see you guys in the academy more. I pray that you guys are a part of the study. Until I have something else to share, y'all. Bye now.